As we continue this morning here, it is Women's Week for us here at Miraya. While we continue shining the spotlight on women who are making the difference in our society, and we're talking to women who seek to understand our society and come up with solutions that can improve the communities. Well, the South Sudan Women Researchers Network Program inspires inclusion through supporting women researchers. Now, we have a woman who seeks to understand agricultural business and how it can change the people's lives. Here with me in the studio, we're glad to have Proskovia Mungasa James. She is a researcher who has actually doing a lot, especially in the agricultural business. And she also is running a mushroom farming business. She will be telling us more about that here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Proskovia, good morning. Good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, and thank you very much for hosting me.
Welcome. It's happy, of course, happy International Women's Month, happy International Women's Week. And let's briefly tell us about this mushroom farming business before we even talk about your research work.
Well, mushroom business is a very new thing in South Sudan. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, but I saw it in other countries. And as you know, South Sudanese have traveled around and they have seen things. But I picked mushrooms because I love mushrooms. It's very delicious. It's nutritious. And in just our neighboring countries, Uganda, many women have been able to put food on the table for their children because you just farm it in a small area. Mm-hmm. You're able to farm it. And from zero to harvest, it takes only 2 months maximum. So it makes it an ideal business for urban settlers, especially returnees, IDPs that are within urban setting.
Mm-hmm. And great. Yes, I love mushrooms. I love eating it. I believe it's healthy and you know, it's good. And it's as well nutritious, as you did mention. But is the market there in South Sudan? Do people really, like it that much?
I've just started harvesting it like a week ago, and I've carried some for you.
Yeah, I can see that. Thank you.
So the few people that I've reached out to, they're really excited. They call me. They even come at night, drive to my farm, and they buy. I have, a few people in my office, they have bought at the Rift Valley. They have bought at UN Women. They are buying. Yes. And then we try to test the open market as well. And people are actually shocked because they know that mushroom is gathered from the farms. And where is this coming from? But they are buying it and they would like to know more.
All right. Thank you. Now let's go to, of course, you as well, researching agribusiness. Tell us why you made this link between agriculture and business.
Yes. When you're farming with a mindset of business, it helps you to scale up, because women are known in South Sudan for only doing backyard farming with no idea of selling. But agribusiness helps you to scale up, helps you to even look for partners to partner with you, so that you can be able to reach out to many people, reach out to markets, and even get supporters to help you, really scale up. It's just scaling up.
Great. And of course, now we are celebrating the Women's Month. We like to talk about women empowerment, and we like to talk about women achievers and achievement and people doing change, as you are here with us in the studio. How important is this kind of agribusiness when it comes to empowering women, especially in a situation where we are here in South Sudan?
When you look at the cultural norms in South Sudan, where women do not have the right to own land, access to land is a problem, especially in an urban setting. Mushroom business becomes actually the most ideal. As I said earlier, it needs a small space, and then it's not planted on ground. We hang it. I wish I could show it.
Yeah, you can describe it to us.
You hang it on ropes.
Okay.
Yes, you hang it on ropes. But the most important thing is...
So if I don't even have enough land, I can use my fence to be hanging it up?
No, it has to be under shelter.
It has to be under shelter.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a very sensitive crop.
Yeah.
You keep it away from flies, you keep it away from insects, because it's very clean.
Okay.
You don't want it to touch the ground. So the hygiene of mushroom is really... really number one.
Hmm.
Yes, because cleaning dust from it becomes difficult.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, talking about the sun, like we are at the moment burning, literally, it's 42 degrees today as we speak. How do they survive in this heat?
Yes, it has a technique. Like in on my farm, I used grass-touched roof. I touched it with grass. And then the wall, I put from outside, I put this weaved bamboo, shergania, what we know here as shergania, from outside. And from inside, I packed it with sisal sacks.
Okay.
And then we water the whole premises. So if you go right now to my farm, the temperature is so cool. It's really cool. It's very conducive. And you have to make sure that the room is also a bit dark, because they thrive where it's cool and dark.
Where is your farm? I'm already interested in visiting.
Yes, it's not far. It's in Munuki. I am not very good with the blocks, but next to Upper Nile University.
Okay, next to Upper Nile University.
Yeah.
Now, from what you have gathered, of course, and you just described for us how it is, what are some of the really greatest challenges that are affecting farming, and particularly mushroom farming in South Sudan?
Yeah, the initial setup of the mushroom farming is quite expensive. You need a number of things. You need the house. You need to make it to the way I described it. So and getting the materials is difficult. Also, making the garden, we use cotton husks. We use rice husks, which all we have to get it from across the border, and then we use lime, you know, before you can get the spawn. So it's really it's not easy. The starting is not easy. So even the support from Rift Valley was not sufficient enough. I had to reach out to the Council of Churches, Father James Oyet. When I talked to him about it, he's really very... He likes to support women. So when I gave him the idea, he quickly talked to one of their partners, Mission 21, who also supports women in this country, especially economic empowerment. They were able to step in and help me to, you know, financially set up the farm. But they're also looking at it in a way that we can use this to continuity apart from after the research. What next? So sustainability, and how can we reach more women to understand that this is one of the areas where they can easily earn some money for themselves. And once a woman has mushroom at the backyard, they will have money and they will not run out of food, because you can dry it, you can sell it fresh, and you can eat it.
Great.
Yes.
Now, talking about that, and of course about bringing the perspective of women into the study, considering that in South Sudan and across the continent, of course, women are heavily involved in agricultural production, how do you diversify this particular enterprise?
Yes, when I talk about enterprise diversification, is like it helps you to plan well, because we are only looking at rains. Now, mushroom gives us the choice of whether there is rain or there is no rain, because you just water it. As long as there's access to water, you're able to farm. So it helps you not to put all your basket in one, all your eggs in one basket.
Okay.
So you can put mushrooms around, you can put other crops. So once these crops have run out of market, at least you have something, a backup plan. You know, that is how I look at diversification. And it's easy, it's good for women, because if it's off, other crops are off season, you're still waiting for the rains. With these climate conditions, mushrooms become the crop of choice, because as long as there is water, as you keep watering, because one garden, you can harvest it for 3 months, and after harvesting for 3 months, you use the remaining garden that cannot give you the crops. You use it in your farm as manure. So in some countries, once you've harvested for 3 months, you pack it in sacks and farmers come and buy. and take it to their farms as natural manure. Yes, because it's cotton and rice husks.
Yes, clearly, as you said earlier, in South Sudan, not many of these businesses. This might have been probably the first mushroom farm in the country. Yes. What made you to start this? What inspired you to start this kind of business or farm?
I looked at how I'm not even able to access land from my family to do what it is I want to do on the farm. So I told myself, if at my level, even the norms, the cultural norms are giving me this kind of constraints, what can be done that can help women to be able to do something small and put food on the table? So I have seen in Uganda, I have seen in Kenya, I've seen in Ghana, I was in Ghana as well, women are doing mushrooms. So I said, what can we do in South Sudan? Can this grow in South Sudan? Is it possible to grow in South Sudan? So when Rift Valley advertised, it's a research farm. With research, those unanswered questions get to be answered. So that's when I said, no, let's try this. And I'm really very happy that they were able to, you know, look at it from the positive angle. And even when I approached the Council of Churches and Mission 21, they embraced the idea. They don't know about it, but they embraced the idea, and let's give it a shot. But I had done the training before.
Great.
In Uganda. I did the training. I tested it at my backyard. And every week I was harvesting 15 kilos because it's a small, like this room. 15 kilos every week.
And I would sell this room is really small.
Yes. I was selling it in the Kasero market and as a farmer. And a kilo was going for 5,000. So I said, oh, if I can succeed in this, then I can be able to train many more women. Because you can choose to be, you can choose to sell only gardens. You can prepare the gardens and sell to farmers who can only water and then harvest and sell. Or you can choose to sell only the mushrooms. Or you can choose to dry them as well, sell them dry. Or you can sell them as powder. So the list is endless. And it's a quick business. Once you water, the woman can do it in the compound while attending to her children. She doesn't have to go anywhere. And once
walking
people get
from
to,
home.
Yes, when people get to know about it, they'll come.
Absolutely.
They'll come and buy from the
Great.
Farm.
Now, in agriculture and in business, knowledge and access to valuable information are quite important. Now, does this form part of the literature of your research?
Definitely. Definitely. Rift Valley is helping me to document this, and it is going to be submitted, of course, to Ministry of Agriculture and other development partners to look into it. You know, with the current climate change in the world, it's important to research and look into options of how we can support our societies, especially women in this country.
Great.
Yes.
Now, as talking about that, who is the target for this research, and who do you hope to reach out to with the results and recommendations?
I'm targeting the Ministry of Agriculture for knowledge, and then also Ministry of Gender because of targeting women. You know, because this can be one of those quick impact, what do you call it, projects for women. It can help them really, really very quick. And then also it will support in fighting food insecurity in the country.
Yes. And just before I let you go, of course, it's the Women's Month. Briefly, of course, it's women empowering women, and it's all about empowerment. What message do you have for the women listening to us right now when it comes to empowering each other through agriculture or agribusiness?
The message I have for women is that let them come and visit my farm. And to our partners out there who are supporting women, let them come and visit the farm and let them have it inclusive. Let them support the women to do this kind of business. It will help these women. And together, we will be able to see the women smiling and children happy.
Great. And of course, how do they visit your farm? If you like, you didn't mention earlier about directions. It's time, if you want to give contacts, please be free.
Yes, my farm is next to Upper Nile University in Munuki. My number is 0925779682. 0925779682. My name is Proskovia.
Proskovia, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much and happy Women's Day, everybody.
Happy Women's Day to you. And yes, you're listening to the Mirai.